Well, it's really good to see all of you here today. My name's Jamie, I'm the pastor here, and I've been really looking forward to sharing with you on this super special day. If we were to do a survey, and we were to ask people, what was the greatest event in the whole of history, I wonder what people would say if we kind of interviewed them and did a survey. Maybe they would say when humans discovered fire, invented the wheel, perhaps. Maybe it was the signing of the Magna Carta or space travel. Perhaps they'd say the discovery of electricity or antibiotics. Now, all of those were great events and changed history hugely, changed humanity. But the greatest event in the history of the world was the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. There has been no other event like it. Nothing greater has ever happened. And we're going to find out why. We're going to look at why it is the greatest event in history. But first, we're going to find out how we can know it actually happened. We're going to look at how we can know that it really, truly did happen. Jesus did rise from the dead. Because maybe you're thinking, well, we're scientific people. We live in a modern age of science. Surely we can't believe in the resurrection today. Well, science is brilliant and amazing, but it's not the only way to access truth. With the resurrection, to find out whether it's true, what we have to do is look at the historical evidence. So we're going to do that now. We're not going to look at all of it because there's lots. I've picked out a few key pieces of historical evidence that we're going to look at which show us and demonstrate to us that the resurrection is true. And Jesus really did rise from the dead. So the first piece of evidence for the truth of the resurrection is that the authors of the New Testament are trustworthy. The people who wrote the New Testament, who wrote the accounts of Jesus rising from the dead, we can trust them. We can trust that they were reliable, that they were telling the truth about what they wrote down. For a few reasons. First of all, there are no other historical writings describing these authors as dishonest or untruthful or unscrupulous. No other historical writings discredit them as liars or whatever. And also, we have to think, what would they gain from making up the resurrection? What would be the motive for making up a story like that? They didn't get fame. They didn't get money. They didn't get praise. Actually, they got the opposite. They got persecution. Many of them got death. They were killed for insisting that Jesus rose from the dead. People are not willing to die for something they've made up. And Jesus taught them to be truthful. They were his disciples. A disciple is a follower. It's an apprentice, if you like. And for 3 years, he had taught them, be truthful, do not lie. He said, I am the truth. It would be rather strange, wouldn't it, if after all that teaching and being followers of Jesus, they told this massive lie and insisted on telling this lie over and over. Also, if they made up the resurrection accounts, it's unlikely that they would include the cowardice and the doubts and the skepticism of the disciples when they encountered the risen Jesus and the first eyewitnesses. And it's also unlikely that they would include women as key eyewitnesses of the risen Jesus, because sadly, back then, women were thought to be gullible, hysterical, and deluded. If you were trying to convince a first century audience, first century people, that the resurrection happened, the last thing you would do is make women your key eyewitnesses. But that's what all four gospel authors did. It's unlikely they made it up. And when we read the New Testament ourselves, we read through it, read through the gospels and so on,
It has the feel of biography and of letters written to real people. It does not have the feel of myth or legend. For example, the author Luke in his gospel begins his account by saying, "I have carefully investigated everything from the beginning to write an orderly account." And the thousands of codexes and manuscripts and manuscript fragments that we have allow us to check and to be sure that the New Testament has not been corrupted and distorted and exaggerated over time. We can gather all those New Testament fragments and manuscripts and codexes, codexes, manuscripts bound together to make a book. We can look at them in the different museums and libraries all over the world and see for ourselves, oh, the story hasn't changed. It's consistent from the earliest manuscripts to the latest. So these things and many more show us that the New Testament authors can be trusted. They are reliable. They were telling the truth. The next piece of evidence for the resurrection is the transformation of the disciples. What caused them to go from being cowardly and hiding away to courageously getting out there and proclaiming the gospel, even though it meant immense opposition, even though it meant persecution and death? What caused that transformation? A dead Jesus that they hid away wouldn't have caused that. A badly injured, barely conscious Jesus who hadn't actually died, he wouldn't have caused that either. But a fully alive, fully functioning, fully healthy Jesus, that would have totally changed them. It would have filled them with awe and wonder and joy and amazement. It would have motivated them and pushed them to tell people, this is incredible, nothing like this has happened. The disciples' incredible transformation is another piece of evidence that the resurrection really did happen. And then the last piece of evidence, the amazing spread and growth of Christianity. So Christianity grew really quickly and spread far and wide very quickly as well. And today, almost one in three people across the globe identify as followers of Jesus. That makes Christianity the most popular belief system in the entire world. And Christianity is not the monocultural faith of the West. Followers of Jesus are far more racially and culturally diverse than followers of any other belief system. There are roughly equal numbers of Christians in Europe, in North and South America, and in Africa, and there is a massively fast-growing church in China as well. Now, of course, all this doesn't prove that Jesus rose from the dead. But, as one author puts it, how a man born into a subjugated ethnic group in an obscure Roman province, who lived poor, died young, never wrote a book, only taught for 3 years, never raised an army, never sat on a throne, how he has come to be the most impactful human in the history of the world, that does require some kind of explanation. How did that happen? And the resurrection is the best explanation for the rapid growth and spread and rise of Christianity. So we've looked at the evidence, not all of it, but some key pieces of evidence. We've seen that it means that the resurrection is plausible. It's believable. It's not a wild fantasy that you have to be crazy to believe. Our faith, our Christian faith, is not blind faith, and it's not a leap in the dark. Our faith is faith that's based on evidence. Evidence such as the pieces that we've just looked at. Now maybe you're thinking, I'm still sceptical, I'm still doubtful, I need more evidence. If so, then please help yourself to these books. They're just on the table down there and they're free. Jesus Unmasked, fact-checking the world's greatest influencer, and Is Easter Unbelievable? Four questions everyone should ask about the resurrection story. Please help yourself, take one for yourself or take one to give to someone else, and there are some other pieces of Easter literature down there on the table for you to take as well. So we can believe the resurrection, but why is it so important? Why is it the greatest event in history? What does the resurrection actually mean for us now, today, in our lives? We're going to think about that now. And the first thing that Jesus' resurrection means is that he really, truly is the Son of God. As it says in Romans chapter 1, verse 4, Jesus was declared to be the Son of God in power, according to the Spirit of holiness, by his resurrection from the dead. When he rose from the dead, there was this great declaration. He truly was the Son of God. We can believe what he said about himself. The resurrection declares that Jesus was not just an ordinary man. Jesus was fully God and fully human, both at the same time. And that means that he is able to save us. He can save us because he's the risen, powerful Son of God. He has the ability and the power that no one else has. When he died on the cross on Good Friday, why did he die? What was going on? Well, he died to save us from being punished after we die for our sins and our wrongdoings. He saves us by taking on himself the punishment we deserve. He was innocent, yet he was prepared to die for the guilty because he loves us so much. He was willing to suffer in our place so we could be saved from punishment, which is eternal separation from God, eternal darkness. And his resurrection proves that he actually does have the power to save from punishment anyone who repents and trusts in him. Because otherwise, he's just a man dying on a cross. There were thousands and thousands of men who died on a cross, sadly, because the Romans were quite barbaric in that way. If the resurrection didn't happen, his words are just words that we can forget about. They were just grandiose claims that came to nothing. But his resurrection proves that his death on the cross saves. And the resurrection gives great power to his promises. And it means that we can trust him when he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. We can trust him when he says, I am the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. So in view of that, in view of what the resurrection proves, I want to ask you this Easter morning, have you repented and trusted in Jesus? To repent means to turn away from your sin, your wrongdoing. To believe in Jesus means to believe in him and all his glory and power as the Son of God. To believe he died for you to take your punishment. To believe in his love. To believe that, yes, he can save me. Have you done that? Will you do that? You can do that because his resurrection proves it wasn't just words he spoke. It wasn't just another crucifixion among many. He has the power to save to the uttermost and forever. So that's the first thing that the resurrection means. He really is the Son of God. He really can save us. So let's make sure we trust him to be saved. And then secondly, his resurrection means that he loves us right now and he won't stop loving us ever. Because he is alive now, because he rose on that first Easter day and stayed alive and is still alive now, he is actively loving you right now. He is actively and powerfully knowing you. He knows your name. He loves you and he cares for you. If Jesus is dead and gone and non-existent, And his love is gone and non-existent. But he rose from the dead, and he's alive now, and he will forever be alive. He's in heaven at this moment, watching us, looking at you with a heart of love. And if we've repented and trusted in him, then nothing, absolutely nothing, can separate us from his love. As it says here in Romans 8, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble, or hardship, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or danger, or sword? Nothing in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. His love is too strong to be broken by anything. We sing a beautiful worship song that goes like this: higher than the mountains that I face, stronger than the power of the grave, constant through the trial and the change, one thing remains. Yes, one thing remains. Your love never fails. It never gives up. It never runs out on me. Not even death could cause Jesus' love to fail. And so this Easter, if you are going through something really tough and really hard, or maybe you're scared about something, maybe something's happened in your life and everything's uncertain now and you're afraid, his comforting, confidence-giving love for you remains, and nothing can separate you from it. And even this Easter, if you feel that your love for him is growing weak and faint, his love for you remains strong and steadfast. It remains, and nothing can separate you from it. And even if you've fallen into temptation and sin, you're a Christian, but you've fallen and you've sinned, his powerful and his forgiving love for you remains, and nothing can separate you from it. And even if you've lost your way a bit, and maybe you feel like you're in the wilderness right now, maybe you feel disorientated and unsettled about life, maybe there's been so many changes, there are so many uncertainties right now for you, his calm and constant love for you remains, and nothing can separate you from it. His resurrection means that he loves us now, and he will always love us forever. This is the beautiful privilege of being a Christian. This is the joyful message of Easter and the resurrection. And lastly, Jesus' resurrection means that if we've believed in him, we will see him, and we will see others who've believed in him again. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live even though they die. And whoever lives by believing in me will never die. Do you believe this? That's the question that Easter raises, isn't it? Do you believe that Jesus is the resurrection and the life? Death is a horrible separation from those we love. But the resurrection means a wonderful reunion is coming. We miss those that we've lost in death. But the resurrection means we'll see them again. Because of the resurrection, death is no longer a full stop that ends a life. It's a comma. It's a brief pause before eternal life. Death means we weep and grieve, but the resurrection means that we believe that just as Jesus rose, so all who are in him will rise, and so will we if we are in him. death is a terrible enemy, but the resurrection means that death is beaten. So take heart. If we're in Christ, we'll see our dead in Christ again. And take courage. If we've trusted in Jesus, we will see him again. That glorious day is coming. Christus victor. Christ victorious. He has conquered death. All praise be his. All glory his own. Amen.